The current scandal at the White House has left everyone guessing not just about what actually happened, but about how to describe it if it did. According to linguist Jeff Nunberg, this is the sort of discussion that Americans have become quite comfortable with in recent years.
There's an old Jewish joke about two middle-aged women who run into each other on the street. "Oh, darling," says one, "you look fabulous, so happy, so radiant. What's going on?" The second woman blushes and says, "Well, if you must know, I'm having an affair." And the first woman says, "An affair, how wonderful. So who's catering?" That's the thing about the words we use to describe these unsanctioned amorous relations. They're always ambiguous or vague or circumspect. It's too delicate a matter to come at head on. Sometimes we wink at it with worldly knowingness, usually with words borrowed from French. Affair is just the French word for business, and when it was first used in this sense, it was often italicized and spelt with a final E. And before that, there were other French borrowings, like liaison, amour, intrigue, and dalliance. That last one goes back a long ways. Shakespeare refers in Hamlet to libertines who tread the primrose path of dalliance. You'd think by now we'd be willing to acknowledge that this sort of behavior isn't wholly alien to the Anglo-Saxon mentality. But maybe it's not so much that we think that only Europeans carry on like this, as that we like to imagine that they're the only ones who know how to talk about it. And using a French word is an easy way of adding a risque note to any proceeding. The New York Times Week in Review section last Sunday headed their coverage of the story with the word scandale, with an E stuck at the end of it. I wondered why they hadn't been content just to put the English word scandal, but probably they figured that in that case, readers might assume that it was about money rather than sex. Not surprisingly, Clinton and other members of the White House staff stayed away from words like liaison and affair. You suspect they wouldn't want to give the impression that words like these even figure in their psychic lives. Instead, they referred to the allegations with vague terms like relationship and encounter, words that mean virtually nothing by themselves unless there's something in the context to, so to speak, flesh them out. The tone was set last week when Clinton was asked if he'd had an affair with Monica Lewinsky, and he answered by saying that there was no improper relationship, thereby opening the door to a frenzy of semantic speculations as to what exactly constitutes a proper relationship. And each of Clinton's subsequent attempts at clarification led to nitpicking of almost Talmudic intricacy. Does no sexual relations preclude oral sex, phone sex, foot rubs? But then it was foreordained that we would get into this sort of discussion from the moment the word relationship was uttered. It's actually a very recent word in this sense. It only became popular in the 1970s, and it's charged with all the self-reflective preoccupations of the age. Relationships are things you work on, work out, work over in every aspect from your sex life to the way you make your eggs in the morning. The key word here is work. The moment people start talking about their relationship, you can suspect they're not having fun anymore. After all, people don't say things like, "We really have to work on our fling." Now, even if Clinton and Lewinsky really did tread that primrose path, it's unlikely that what they had was a relationship. I mean, I assume that if things started to go sour for them, they wouldn't have gone to see somebody about it. In a less reflective age, people would have referred to this sort of thing as a fling or a dalliance. And while they might have judged Clinton for it if it was true, they wouldn't have felt the need to spend hours trying to pin it down. But it's Clinton's misfortune to have become president in an age that insists that the unexamined relationship is not worth having, and which has organized an enormous cultural apparatus to coordinate the resulting yammer. We have daytime talk shows, self-help books, personal growth seminars, human potential groups, all of them devoted to helping people pick over their relationships in numbing detail. It's no wonder everybody's taken to the current scandal with such gusto. We've been training for this one for 20 years.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.